Welcome to MedTech Chat, where we discover the latest healthcare tools, device technology, as well as research approaches. We'll be talking to designers, insight professionals, and other executives to better understand how MedTech is helping patients and those caring for them now and in the future. Today we're talking to Mary Putman. Mary is a lead digital strategist for Stone Mantle, a boutique insights consultancy. Before joining Stone Mantle, she led digital innovation and capability development for Hallmark. She was at Hallmark for several years in digital, business development, strategy, marketing, and product. She was a board member of the Digital Sandbox and helps mentor startups. So thanks for joining me today, Mary.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, I know we have a lot of interesting things to cover, but I really want to kind of start off by saying that healthcare is a long way from Hallmark, so why that change?
Yeah, it is a long way from Hallmark, but I have a personal passion around healthcare. I found myself constantly listening to podcasts and reading and researching things with healthcare. But there's also, you know, in Hallmark, we were studying emotional well-being, which is highly important for healthcare. And so when I was starting to think about what I wanted to do next, I knew that I wanted to make a at least a half turn, if not completely, jump into healthcare for my next thing that I was doing.
Well, I'm glad you did, because this way we get to work together. And I'm sure many people have been following me or listening know about the Digital Healthcare Collaborative that you and I have been working on for quite a few number of years now. But I'm wondering if you can kind of give us a summary for someone who doesn't know about the Digital Healthcare Collaborative. What's it about and why is it interesting?
Yeah, and the Digital Healthcare Collaborative is actually, even though I had met Stone Mantle through their Digital Consumer Collaborative, the fact that they had started the Digital Healthcare Collaborative is why I decided to join Stone Mantle. The Collaborative is a year-long program. It's an innovation process, and it's 8 to 12 non-competing companies that are looking at some really interesting questions. And our whole mission at the Collaborative is, how do you leverage this digital to improve patient outcomes? So we've looked at topics in the past few years, as you know, Tom, as we've worked together on this, on how do patients define engagement? How can you leverage digital to impact healthy behavior change? What will, you know, intelligent next generation experiences look like? And then most recently, we've been looking at kind of smart and genius in healthcare and virtual delivery. And it's data and what, how do you do smart experiences leveraging data in healthcare?
It's interesting. When I try to describe what we do, it's hard for people to wrap their heads around. So I've talked about it in a number of different ways. Sometimes I call it a digital think tank. I talk about how we bring together leaders from different industries, pharmaceutical companies, medical device and solution provider, health insurance, medical and hospital systems, all to kind of study a common problem together while each of the people are also studying their own idea or concept throughout these phases. Are there other ways that you could describe it that would help people understand what this is all about?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a mix of a thought leadership program along with, you know, an accelerator. You know, we think about how people can solve things, big problems, better together than they can separately. And so it's very much about the collaboration that occurs between the companies. And we have members that are across the whole healthcare delivery continuum. We have payers and hospitals and pharmaceutical companies, manufacturers, startups. And we bring some of the best subject matter experts in the world to help us think through these problems. But most importantly, we're working with patients and we're working together as a group. And so from our innovation process, we start with discovery type research, ethnographic research. And so we're doing a broad exploration of the topic areas, whether it's, you know, what's smart and genius in healthcare or how to impact behavior change. And so these are broad-based learnings that the members of the collaborative can use to help inform their strategies. And then we dive into, once we have a point of view around the questions that we're trying to look at, each company decides, as you know, Tom, what do they want to work on? And the companies have worked on some really interesting questions. And we specifically do co-creation research, where we're co-creating with the patients, whether it's COPD patients or it's people that are dealing with diabetes or chronic illness, or Stephen, how do you do remote delivery of healthcare visits, and what does the future of that look like? We're co-creating that with patients and bringing that back to the organizations, and then we do a quantitative study at the end to validate both our high-level hypotheses and then what the individual companies are working on.
I always think of it as sort of an academic calendar where we, in pre-pandemic, would meet in person, and in between those meetings, we would do different aspects of the research that you've been mentioning. I'm wondering now, in this new normal that we're in, tell me about how things have been different this year and any new additions for people that may have been involved in the past that haven't seen the new ways of doing things.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you think about it from an academic perspective, although it's definitely not an academic exercise, because it's very much about how do you deliver on real-world problems that you're trying to solve. But it does start, we've run on a school year calendar. We used to run on a different calendar, but the school year calendar seemed to work with members better. But we're meeting virtually, and because we're meeting virtually right now, we're able to do some things that we couldn't do in person. And that's, companies are engaging more members of their organization in the discussions. We've also brought, we had several of the healthcare companies that wanted to really learn from our thought leadership program, the collaborative that we have on the consumer side, where we're setting meaningful experiences. And so we've been able to have people more easily participate in what we're now calling tracks, all of the discussions, whether it's new family dynamic, whether it's meaningful motivation, or how technology is really impacting meaningful experiences. They're able to get more breadth and learning and interact with the consumer companies more. So that's one change that's been made because we're virtual. But the other is, because this, Tom, because you guys conduct our study for us, our large quantitative study, we had that out there in March of last year, right before COVID really hit the psyche of the country. And so we had this kind of pre-COVID benchmark, and we've been doing a monthly monitor call where we're tracking some things around both, some consumer things around what makes for meaningful experiences, but also we've been tracking kind of some of the things that have changed in healthcare delivery and healthy behaviors that people are doing over the last year. And so we have that monthly look at how COVID is impacting both attitudes and behaviors.
That's great. It's interesting. I always think about how the medical side of things, pharmaceutical companies, tend to be behind where sort of the consumer type of products are. And so I think being able to go across different groups is very exciting, because you can, sort of get ahead of where you might have been if you were just in your silo. So I'm wondering if you could tell us more about how people coming from different areas really helps in their, not only their personal journey, but then their company's products.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If we think about, and my first example is actually some of the stuff that we're taking from healthcare and thinking about it for consumer, which is not how healthcare brands tend to think. They tend to, most of it needs to leverage and learn from consumer activities in order to make engagement better. But the research we did probably almost four years ago now on impacting behavior change and how to leverage digital to impact behavior change in healthcare, we took that model and used it as a starting point for the meaningful motivation work that we're doing for both consumer brands and healthcare this year. And this, when we think about the work that we're doing, that we did a few years ago on how do you really make people feel comfortable in sharing data? And if you're going to deliver smart experiences in healthcare, you have to leverage data to do that. And so we're studying kind of what are the techniques, how do we take our data experience model and really leverage that for healthcare. So we got a running start because we already had a model created on the consumer side that we could validate and extend for healthcare. And so that's some of what we've been looking at this year. And so when we look at the concepts that we create, that the companies are co-creating, there are elements in there that we end up saying, you know, this is something that was really important for, you know, an idea for one company, maybe on the financial side, that could be leveraged for healthcare and vice versa. And so it's always interesting for the member companies to see what they've learned from the other companies, not just in specific concepts that the members are telling them about, but from the ways that members have applied things that they've learned in the past.
Another interesting thing is how there's different types of people involved. I'm wondering if you can give us some sense of the kinds of like backgrounds or positions people are in, because I know some are sort of insights professionals, some are more on like user experience, some might be involved in, you know, other areas of research. So I'm wondering if you can kind of give us that broad stroke of all of the different types of folks that might be involved.
Yeah, there are a lot of different types of folks involved. And, you know, if we start with the types of folks that are involved on the healthcare side, you have insight roles, you have customer experience or, you know, kind of patient advocate roles, you have product roles, you have, you know, from hospital systems, particularly, you know, more of the CIO, VP of marketing type roles, community health. You have data analytic roles, CMIOs. So there's a lot of different, and there's a lot of different levels as well. It's people that are trying to make a change in their organization on how digital can really improve patient outcomes. So it's really interesting to see the interactions between the different types of roles and companies within the member meetings.
That's interesting. The other thing is I've seen people do well personally throughout their journey, because not only are they helping their company with whatever product or initiative they're working on, I've seen how people have developed themselves, and because obviously we have these mini TED Talks, and I've seen people, you know, move on to different jobs, to get promoted, to just, you know, increase in their self meaning. I'm wondering how much of that do you think ties into this interesting sort of collaborative think tank?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was at Hallmark, I participated in a lot of different types of initiatives that companies had, and the collaborative was the one I enjoyed the most. And because there's something about when, instead of just kind of listening to the research, you know, we have our member meetings, we're only spending about the first couple hours of that meeting sharing the research out. It's then what are the frameworks and things that we're creating from it. And so when these people are working together, thinking about the future and thinking differently and thinking forward, it develops them in different ways, and they interact, and I love seeing, my favorite part is just seeing how the people grow. And we have seen, you know, people use this information to help not just advance their company, but advance themselves and move on to roles that they may not have decided to tackle before, because they have a sense, you know, we worked last year on what do the future journeys of healthcare look like, you know, for chronic and acute and wellness. And as you're diving into that and have this kind of map of the future, it helps you really think about what's important and where you want to go, and how you can, both your company can move forward in that and how you can individually.
I know you said some of this already, but could you give us a sense of how insights are being applied with all of the research and information you gather in a given collaborative?
Yeah, and Tom, I also realized there was one other thing that, you know, makes me enjoy these member meetings so much that I just wanted to add, and that's seeing the relationships that are building with people across organizations and how they're spending time together and enjoying each other. And so seeing those strong friendships build throughout the collaborative, I think, is really important. But when we look at what people have done with it and how they're applying it, I think one of my favorite, there's so many things. You know, Mercy was looking at, you know, what's the virtual visit of the future look like? And that was a few years ago that they were looking at that. But Flagler Hospital System, they came to the collaborative two, three years ago, and they really wanted to look at what should their digital strategy be and how do they engage with the community on a more everyday basis. And so we were studying next generation experiences at that time, and they used that to create their digital strategy. And in doing that, worked with a company called Healthfully to then start to bring that to life. And in our February meeting, you might remember when we were in Miami a little over a year ago, which seems so long ago, the CEO of Healthfully was demonstrating for us what they had created in a virtual village of the future and what where they were going with their beta launch of that at the end of February, which was incredibly timely for them to have that kind of engagement ability with the community when COVID hit. And so that journey that they went through was just is something that's just really meaningful for me that was able to have a small impact on that. There are smaller ways that people are using the information, whether it's to inform initiatives, that they'll use it to help them think about their product roadmap. They'll use it to very specifically decide, how do we want to move forward on a particular part of an initiative we already have, whether it's leveraging smart inhalers and making that experience better, or how do we do remote monitoring for hypertension at home, those kinds of things that people are trying to understand from the experience perspective, or how do we help our patients have a more engaged conversation with their doctor, leveraging digital in between patient visits.
Sounds like you definitely cover a lot of ground. I'm curious, as you're looking into the future, what are you most excited about coming next?
Well, I'm really excited that this coming year, because there's a lot that we've looked at from a theory perspective over the last few years, and we're really going to focus this coming year on delivering against that. And so I think the ability to spend more time on what does it mean to really deliver on some of the transformation that people are going through, whether it's how do you deliver cost transparency to lots of other places that people are looking at what they want to deliver as we think about health at home and digital transformation. And so I think spending more time on the actual delivery is something that I'm really excited about.
I wonder if you could tell us about the process, because I know it's, not just as quick as you might want it to be. So if I'm interested in joining, obviously, I could talk to you or to others about, how to get involved. But then, of course, I have to go back and explain it to my company and what the benefits are and so forth. So what kind of is the typical process there?
So typical process is somebody will want to find out more, and we'll spend 20, 30 minutes talking to them about how does it work. And then we have an overview document that they can use to talk to their organization. We are also happy to talk to them about that. Usually they'll talk to some past members, current members, to get an understanding of the value that they'll get from the collaborative. And we can kind of show them some of the research so that they can see what's there. And once they think about what are the things that we want to apply it towards, and they don't have to have a very specific idea. It could be in general, we think we want to do X, Y, or Z, because we start with initial exploration, and a company doesn't have to decide until a few months in what it is that they really want to focus on from a delivery perspective. So it can go, fast or slow depending upon who all they're trying to engage in their organization. We also now have the ability, if somebody wants to just join for a quarter and see what it's about, that they're able to do that.
obviously now is a great time to join because we're starting up the new year, but it sounds like you can join pretty much at any point along that year that you're able to get involved.
Yes, and that's something new that we're doing. So we've had a couple companies just join in the last month, even though we're going to be wrapping up in May. And so, yeah, now is the perfect time to join because there's time to work through that process. And then May we'll be defining, where's the first place that we want to go from an exploration perspective as we start to do our research over this, our initial research over the summer.
Mm-hmm. I know there's some early things that you have to do if you're new, so I guess part of it is getting up to speed on some of the basics. I wonder if you could tell us about that sort of foundational aspect that you guys provide.
Yeah, I mean, we have some members that have been in the healthcare collaborative from the beginning, and we have others that are brand new. And so one of the things that's really important to us is we want members to have the core ideas and concepts that we're working from because it makes for a broader understanding and a richer dialogue. And so we spend time with new members when they first join to bring them up to speed on these core insights. And people are always amazed at the breadth of the insights and how they can take that back immediately and start thinking differently about the work that they're trying to get done. So we have a foundational deck that grows every year that helps people get started with it.
Yeah, I always find it interesting because not only do you have these frameworks to think about, you also have models, a way of kind of thinking through information that we're working on. I don't know if you can say more than that. I know that we have obviously already publicized some things, so like the What's Smart and Genius in a Healthcare Tool, but if you could tell us more about those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's one of those is if you think about next generation experiences, what are those things that make it next generation? What's important in that? We've been working right now on how are people managing their physical health and emotional well-being systems. And as we think about from a framework perspective, if you think about it as a life system and what are people doing, then you can start to understand better the role that you can play within that. And then the model that we've, where we've taken the behavior change model that we did a few years ago and the role that digital can play in behavior change, and we've updated it with the meaningful motivation work that we've just done, it gives companies some great places to think about how do I support healthy behavior change with a variety of individuals.
The other thing I always find interesting is that companies typically want to keep things to themselves and they don't think about sharing information. So I'm wondering, how does that work if a company gets involved? Can they keep out their competitor? How do they decide how much they're going to share so that they can learn more from others, et cetera?
Well, and Tom, that's the question we get asked most often. I shouldn't say most often, but it's certainly one of the top questions we get asked. So there's kind of three things related to that. The first is the broad-based learnings, like the meaningful motivation model, how we think about stupid, dumb, smart, and genius within healthcare, the data experience design framework. Those are the open, available to everybody. It's the new work that we're creating together. And so we never ask a company to share any of their own research or any of their own IP. Some choose to share with the group. And that's kind of the second thing is that we try and keep it as non-competing companies. Although, of course, we have Philips and Johnson & Johnson involved. They compete in some different areas. And so each person decides what they want to share with the group. And then when they get into their own individual concepts, that's the IP of the company. And so they decide what they want to share with the group. There's some broad learnings that you can extract out that help move the thinking forward of the group. But every company gets their own individual report when it comes to both the qualitative co-creation that we do and the quantitative validation of that. That's for themselves. Some companies choose to share it completely. So when you know, we had a payer that was looking at remote monitoring, and we had a hospital system looking at virtual visits of the future. They were very close to each other as far as concepts, and so they shared their whole reports with each other, whereas other companies keep it a little closer to the vest. But that's up to the individual company to decide.
That's great to know. Anything else that people might want to consider as they're trying to decide if they want to become a member?
I think it's a very cost-effective way to get a lot of research. If you're, there's a lot of changes in expectations right now, so if they're wanting, you know, understand how do I deliver against those changes, and really how do I make sure I'm getting the most out of the spend that we have in technology and in resources and in patient engagement, it's a great place to do that. So really thinking about what are they wanting to change, and you know, if they want to work with a group to help them really think through that, the collaborative is a great place to do that.
That's great. One thing I'll do is when I post this episode, I'll also have a link to the webinar that we did, and they can go, that's linked onto your site. And then obviously the article we did at Quirks, I'll put a link there. People go there. Is there anything else that you want people to be able to find? I can obviously put your LinkedIn or email there. Anything else you want to share for people to connect with you?
I think, you know, the website where it talks about the collaborative, I can't think of anything else, Tom. I mean, you know this, you know this as well as I do. So I think that I was going to mention the Quirks article, but you've already said that. So I think you've got it.
Great. And then, of course, just kind of a side question, which I try to ask everybody. I don't know if you put any thought into this yet or not. What historical figure or fictional character do you relate to or inspired by, and kind of why that particular one?
So the historical character that person that I have always been inspired by, and I've been inspired by her since I was like 6, and I first saw her on television, where she was kind of in the muck helping people. I've always been really inspired by Mother Teresa, and hoping that I could help see the beauty in everyone like she does, and make a difference, and being willing to get in there and do the hard work. So she's always inspired me.
Wow, yeah, it's definitely a great role model, hard to live up to, but definitely aspirational. As I think about what kind of jobs you want to get done, that is definitely one. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I figure if I can live up to even 5% of Mother Teresa, then life will be amazing.
I agree. I would love to get 5% of being able to do what she was able to do. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm sure we will touch base again on other interesting med tech topics. But thanks again for joining us today.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Please check out medtechchat.com for more podcasts and blogs. See you there.